What's up, guys? You are listening to Single Track State of Mind on Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. This is your host, DJ Mountain Goat, broadcasting live on radio.dominican.edu and FM 102.3. Welcome back, guys, to the wonderful world of mountain biking, the badass world of mountain biking, I might say. And I hope you're able to tune in last week and catch my great show on Calabasas and Shells, some of the best dirt jumping you can do in the Bay Area. Actually, I covered some of the dirt jumping spots over in the South Bay and what makes it so great. But I got some good stuff in tap for you today, and thanks for tuning back in. I hope everybody's doing all right in this tough time amidst the COVID crisis, and I hope amidst all this chaos and the shelter in place that everybody's able to get outside. It's really been absolutely vital for mental, emotional, and physical sanity. I tip my hat to everybody that's adhering to the guidelines and sheltering in place and doing their part to contribute to the well-being of our state and our nation. I know in California, the Bay Area counties are sheltering in place the best out of all the counties in the Bay Area and also California. We have been praised multiple times through the media, and of course Gavin Newsom, our governor, sure did spearhead this and take action early. He really made the difference. He's really looking good as far as other states are, and nipping this thing in the butt. And our state is really benefiting from the early action that was taken. So we are flattening the curve, people. So good job. Keep sheltering in place, and we're all going to get through this. Hopefully not too much longer, but however long it may be, we're going to get through this by banding together and doing our part to not spread this any further and save lives. That's what we're in, the saving life business at this point. So, like I said, getting outside has been absolutely essential for my emotional, mental, and physical health myself, and I'm sure it has been for many other people. It's pretty funny though. Some people, this is like, just another day, business as usual. I am not a homebody like those people. I know a lot of people are like, hey, perfect. This is a great time for me to just hang out and have a few more drinks and, surf the internet, play video games. And I said, I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. This is not my natural state. I do not sit inside well. I go stir crazy. I need to be active outside. I need to see green things, greenery, vegetation. I think it's been ingrained in us humans for a very long time, being hunter-gatherers and moving around. We need to see, biology in motion. And so I just laugh at the people that are like, this is great, staying at home. I don't have a problem with it. So if you're anything like me, and you probably are since you're listening, if you're listening to this show, you got to get outside and hit the trails. I have been going out on the trails at least 3 times a week. Two of those outings are mountain bike rides. I go for at least 2 mountain bike rides a week, thank God. And I usually go for a hike or two with my girlfriend, and we keep our distance as best as we can, and it sure helps a lot. A lot of people have been looking down on others who are getting outside and hitting the trails. And I think that's really wrong. It really is. If you're going outside for exercise and stress relief, there are ways to do this that adhere to the shelter-in-place guidelines. The people that have looked down upon me or met, I'll post on social media and they insist their opinion that maybe I'm not doing the sheltering-in-place right. And that's not right. They don't have that. They shouldn't have that ability and selfishness to try to impose their opinion on me and others, because I know other people have had problems with it too. You know, if all I know is that our governor and other governors and officials have said, if you know, you can go outside, you're allowed to go outside, hit the trails, get exercise, and do it for your mental, emotional, and physical health. And many people have to do that. And you can adhere to the guidelines, and you can keep your space and act accordingly. And it's really offensive for people to tell you that you're not sheltering in place and that you're wrong for doing so. So keep going outside. Don't listen to those ding dongs, and you know, keep going for rides. Get on the trails. Go for hikes. And just keep your 6 foot. Keep a 6 foot distance and you'll be A-okay. So if that's happening to you, I'm right there with you. Don't listen to those people. And, you know, you can tell those people to go take a hike, literally and physically, figuratively, excuse me. And so, you know, and when I go outside, I never ride with more than one friend. When we ride together, me and my buddy or my other buddy, you know, we keep like at least 10 feet apart at all times. And so, you know, we're cognizant of, our space between us, and, you know, when we're going down the trail, we try to keep our distance, and, same thing when we're on the trail. You know, when we walk, we see hikers along the single track, and, we either pop completely off of the trail so that the hiker can pass by, or the hiker does so for us before we get a chance. I have had a few instances where I've popped off the trail, but there hasn't been enough of there isn't the appropriate amount of you know, trail off the trail to or it's not safe in certain areas off of the trail to get off and make room for the hiker. And the hiker may not be social distancing or taking the 6 foot rule as serious, and they just walk right on by within a foot distance. That is really bothersome to me. You know, if you're on foot and you're not on a bike and you have the ability to jump off the trail, you should do so. And so I've had a few moments where I can't get my bike off of the trail and in time for the hiker, and the hiker just strolls on by at about a foot's distance. And you know, when I go by people, I try to turn my face too, so I try not to make them feel vulnerable or uncomfortable that I'm, you know, in their comfort zone, and turn my head so that no droplets or you know, my exhale can, you know, get in their comfort, you know, their comfort zone at all. So anyways, I don't want to go too far on that. That's what I've been doing lately when I'm out on the trail. And so, you know, we also, as far as the shelter in place order, me and my buddies, and mainly myself, I go riding a lot by myself too these days. We don't drive to the open space parks. You know, we adhere to the open space guidelines, and that means that we need to ride our bikes or hike from home and residential neighborhoods. So we are very lucky in Marin, very, very lucky. Thank God that the trails are still open. There was a couple day window where I was, you know, basically losing my mind because I was so worried that I wasn't going to be able to go out on the trails again. Very selfish of me, but I think a lot of people share that with me. There was a moment where Marin County released, you know, a statement and an article saying that, you know, all open space parks are closed. And man, that was a shock. That was a scary day. And they retracted that a little bit and softened the rule by saying that only residents and locals of Marin County can use the trails. And they can only use the trails if they access it by foot or by bicycle. And so that was music to my ears once they softened the rule. And, you know, so I don't go driving to the, you know, the big open space parking lots. They don't want, you know, big groups of people or cars you know, packing in these open space preserves, and they're really doing that so that people who live close to open space preserves can still get outside, and people that are, you really are supposed to stay within your residential area. And so I live basically right down the street from China Camp, and so I go there constantly. That's the only place I've been riding lately, and luckily it's pretty big. But so please keep doing what you're doing, guys, and ride your bikes to the open space preserves. Don't drive your car there. And just recently, Marin County Sheriff's Office started ticketing people as of last week. And all I can say is amen. Can I get an amen? And, it didn't come soon enough, I'm not really sure why it took them this long. I've witnessed many, many people parking at open space lots, and the open space parking lots are always packed. And so, all I can say is people are selfish and they're not listening. And so they just started giving out warnings initially, Marin County Sheriff's Office, and citations. And obviously nobody cared and they didn't take it seriously. So now they're finally handing out $100 fines because their citations weren't working. And thank God. They should have done this from the beginning. And I hope they continue to issue $100 fines and tickets because, people cannot be gathering at these open space preserves. So I have been riding China Camp, like I said, and it's been great. It's my favorite place to ride in Marin. I've been riding the Dominican side of China Camp quite a bit. It's absolutely fantastic. It's probably my single most favorite single track in Marin. And I know I covered China Camp in the beginning of my show series. I think that was back in, February. Beginning of February, I covered China Camp. And I have talked about the Dominican side of China Camp quite a bit in the last couple weeks. And that's only because that is where I can ride right now. That's one of the only places I can ride because it's in my residential area. It's I'm a local, and I live right off of, right in San Rafael, a couple streets, 10 minutes away from China Camp. And so and Dominican side, wow. It's just fantastic single track, super narrow, technical, tests your balance, your mental, mental, emotional ability to stay in the zone on this trail. And what's really great about the Dominican side is it is totally accessible from multiple areas in the Dominican neighborhood. It's pretty great. I've started from a few areas. And basically, if you look on your local map, don't just go on iMaps or your Android maps. Go on Trail Forks, and if you go on Trail Forks, this is the fantastic mountain biking trail app that I've mentioned a few times throughout my shows. If you go on Trail Forks, you can just put in San Rafael, scoot your map over to the China Camp Open Space Preserve, and look where Dominican University is, and just look where the foothills kind of start. You'll see mapped out trails that start out of little dead-end cul-de-sacs that go up towards China Camp in the Dominican neighborhood. So the first time I found this amazing trail, Wood Rat and Canary and JT Howell, which is the three connecting trails of amazing single track on the Dominican side, I found it by looking at Trail Forks and deciding that I was just going to drive up through the neighborhood and hop on this single track. And that's what we did. I went with my buddy, longtime buddy of mine, and we were pleasantly surprised. We were blown away. And later I found out that this is one of the first mountain biking trails in Marin. A lot of the first pioneers built their first trails at Dominican side of China Camp. So a lot of history there. Fantastic single track. You can't go wrong. And it's just some of the best. So if you're just tuning in, guys, this is Single Track State of Mind. This is your host, DJ Mountain Goat, and we're broadcasting live out of my living room, and we've got some more amazing mountain biking here for you today. We're broadcasting on radio.dominican.edu and FM 102.3. Thanks for tuning back in, guys. I was just discussing COVID and ways to get outside, enjoy yourself, and to do it appropriately and to do it legally without getting fined. And the trail that I've been hitting a lot is Dominican. So let's get rolling into some other good stuff today, some more mountain biking mayhem. And before I do that, I want to play a nice little June to get us in the groove for mountain biking. So let's put on some good tunes here, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm a reggae man myself, and you know, these guys are kind of what you call Cali reggae, and these guys are always sure to put me in the groove and in a good mood, especially while mountain biking. So their name is The Movement, and this one's called Remember. So I hope you guys enjoy it. All right. That's a reggae Jew. Good one. By The Movement. And they're a really good kind of Cali reggae genre. They're not from California, but they're definitely in the Cali reggae genre, which is kind of a rock influenced form of reggae. There's a lot of reggae that comes out of California, and they've kind of set the tone for a certain sound, and it's definitely The Movement. I love throwing The Movement on, and you know, when I'm biking, when I'm just chilling at home, going for a drive, they're good stuff. So hope you enjoyed it. But let's jump back into some mountain biking mayhem here. And, you know, I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, a few things other than trail riding. And, you know, I've talked a lot about trails and lately it's been COVID and I really wanted to switch gears and talk about things like bike maintenance and certain gear that works better than others and kind of the ins and outs and the tricks of the trade. So I hope you guys are ready to tune in and hear some pointers and some suggestions and what I kind of use on my day-to-day rides and what makes my bike tick and what I've tried and tested in the mountain biking world. So I hope you guys are looking forward to it. And I'd like to start off with talking about some bike maintenance and upkeep. Keeping your well-oiled bike and your Stallion good to go is really important. My Stallion is the Santa Cruz Nomad. I bought it 2 years ago. It's one of the trustiest steeds that I've ever had, the nicest and most elegant steeds I've ever had. It's a beautiful bike, and I'll get into the parts and why I love my bike for what it is. But yeah, it's talking about simple maintenance tricks and tools and ways to upkeep your bike. You know, yesterday, I did a really thorough wash and clean on my bike, which is key to keep the bike well running and maintained. You know, I hadn't washed it in quite a few rides. I'd say about 8 rides, something like that. Maybe 10. That's really, really pushing it in my book, actually. I start to feel pretty guilty after letting it run rampant and get really dirty. I don't know about you guys. If you get really guilty and feel bad, like you're not treating your lady well. And that's how I get when I haven't cleaned my bike in a while. So it was getting really dirty. Looked rowdy, looked like it needed some love. And so I gave it a wash. I use a bike wash called Muck Off, and it's a really great bike wash. It's biodegradable, which is awesome because I wash my bike outside. So I know the biodegradable Muck Off usually biodegrades, and I think pretty quickly, a week or two or something like that is what it said on the bottle. And really great stuff. You put a nice lather on the bike with this Muck Off spray, and you let it soak into the gears and, you know, the chain ring and all the saturated dirty areas. And this stuff kind of just eats away at it for a second. You don't want to leave it on too long, let it dry out or anything, but let it run its course, and then give it a hose down. And of course, you want to hose down your bike before you put on Muck Off. I forgot to say that first, but Muck Off works great. I use a bike stand when I'm cleaning my bike. Some people like to just lean it up against a wall, or just put it up against something. The bike stand's really nice to have. If you don't have a bike stand, not only is it great to work on, to make repairs and to do some small maintenance stuff, but washing your bike on the bike stand makes things a lot easier. It props the bike up at a certain angle and position for you to access hard to reach areas on your bike when cleaning it, and the bike doesn't move. That's a pretty key piece of it. When you're leaning it up against a wall, you're vulnerable for the bike to either fall or move or even get scratched. And so the bike stand holds it in place. It's really great. And I use a Feedback Sports bike stand. I actually just got it not too long ago. It's a great bike stand. It's a tripod, and it's really intuitive, actually. It's really easy to use. It's got a few moving parts. It was super easy to put together, only a couple pieces. Basically, it came ready to go in the box. And like I said, super easy to use, and it's so far been really strong and durable, and holds the bike really well. You know, my bike's not a tank, but it's not a small bike either. I think my bike weighs about 32 pounds, definitely on the burlier end of an all mountain bike. And I washed that trusty steed of mine, the Nomad, yesterday with ease. Yeah, like I said, I do a nice soak on the chain ring, on the derailleur, all the really dirty, greasy, saturated areas. I like to get the chain. I have one of those chain cleaners that you can get. Amazon has a fantastic bike washing cleaning kit. I think it was like $20 on Amazon. Just do a thorough wash. Spray that muck off everywhere. And make sure you get all the dirt out of the pivot points, the nooks and crannies. And now she's looking sparkly. I'm staring at her right now out of my window. Luckily, that's, you know, my studio is my living room, and I get to look at my trusty steed, my stallion, and she's looking good. She's looking real good. And I'm looking forward to hopping back on her tomorrow. I'm going for another ride with a buddy tomorrow, keep our distance. But that is just one of the maintenance things I do. I love giving it a wash and keeping it clean. That bike stand of mine is really great because, it really makes adjustments a lot easier too. Whether it's, you know, pumping up the tires, making small Allen wrench adjustments to the seat post, making sure, you know, I like to make sure that all the bolts are pretty tight on my bike. I've had things knock loose after being a little negligent to my Stallion, my Nomad, and all of a sudden I've realized that I've been riding my bike so hard that I haven't been checking the bolts, and things have knocked loose to the point where I had to buy new parts. So be careful about that. Check your bolts, make sure they're tight, good to go. I use a Crank Bros multi-tool, and I also have some Park tools that are not a multi-tool that hand crank better and that have better access to things. But the Crank Bros multi-tool is an all-around fantastic bike tool. It's really kind of your one quiver, all-in-one bike tool. It's got all your Allen wrenches. It has a star wrench for the disc rotor, and also the brake and integrated shiftings or dropper posts have now those the switching the hand switch for those parts are now. They use the star wrench, and those are, attached to the handlebar, and the Crank Bros has that. And it also has a chain breaker, which is really great if you need to put a new chain on or you need to change out some links. What else does it have? It's got a lot of great stuff. I think mine is a 19-in-1 multi-tool, so Crank Bros is the way to go if you're going to get a multi-tool. And get that the Feedback Sports bike stand. It'll really make your life a lot easier. Another thing is, talk about, the tire pressure. Lately, I've been messing with my tire pressure, but I'm pretty sold on a 35 PSI tire pressure. Some guys like it even less, but I'm a heavier guy. And I weigh about 210, And out on the trails, 35 PSI is pretty solid for me. Some guys like it like 25 or 30. I find that my weight and the I have a large bike, the tires start to give way with my big butt rolling around the trail. My tires give way anything less than 35. I feel when I'm railing berms or hitting some hard turns, S turns. It doesn't feel like I'm in control. I've done it. I used to ride with a little less when I was younger because I wasn't as heavy. 35 is pretty good, and seems to be pretty solid. You can check your tire too. They kind of have a recommended tire PSI. Usually you want it on the lower end of whatever that window is. Like mine, I think, shows 35 to 40 PS. Sorry, 35 to 50 PSI. And you would never want it anything past 40, in my opinion. That's way too high. Having that pressure too high like that when you're going downhill can actually be dangerous as well. You're just not going to be able to have the traction and grip that you'd have with the lower tire pressure. But vice versa, when you're climbing and going downhill, if you have too little tire pressure, one, it's going to soak up all your energy, and two, your tire might give way. So 35 is my recommendation, and that's where I put my tire pressure at these days. Seems to work great. I'm not sure about what your guys' stance is on rebound on your bikes, but I like to make sure that my shocks are set to the factory setting for my weight. So if you look up whatever your suspension may be, two most popular are RockShox and FoxShox. I have RockShox. I love both brands, but I do love RockShox as well. And I have the RockShox Lyric. And if you look up on the factory website for RockShox, you can find the factory settings for all your shocks and your rebounds. And you can adjust the air pressure in the shocks to your weight. And so I have mine set for me. It's about 205, 210. And it's perfect. It really doesn't need much adjustment. My shock does not lock out. I can mess with the rebound a little bit though, but I like minimal rebound. I do not like a lot of rebound. I find that the type of riding that I do, if you have too much rebound, it can actually throw you off the bike in the wrong direction, which is really dangerous. Too much rebound, you come into a turn or you come off of a little jump or a hop, and then boom, you just get sent off of the rebound, and there you go, you're going flying off your bike, or you're getting thrown into a different turn that you didn't want to go to. So keep the rebound not too high. And adjusting the derailleur, that one's pretty key for me. Having this Nomad for 2 years, I really haven't had to adjust the derailleur much, which is fantastic. For those of you that like to work on your bike, adjusting the derailleur is really easy to do. Throw it on your bike stand and, make a few adjustments with an Allen wrench, and it usually can do the trick. Unless the bike really needs some TLC, you might need to change the derailleur cable. If the cable's seen too many hours of use and it's starting to get really stretched out, then it's time for a new derailleur cable. And then you'll be able to make the adjustments that you need to make on your derailleur. But I've had my bike for 2 years. Haven't needed a new derailleur cable. Actually, I've gotten one derailleur cable. But other than that, I just make simple adjustments on the derailleur, and I can adjust it with the barrel adjuster that's at the handlebar as well. And quick, easy adjustments, super easy. And other than that, there's not a whole lot I have to play with. I check the bolts, I check the tire pressure, and just recently I changed my brake pads. You definitely want to do that pretty, often enough. I rode my bike for about a year and a half, And then I had to get new brake pads. I have ceramic brake pads. I have the Avid Code brakes, and these brakes have ceramic brake pads, which is actually super awesome. I did not have these growing up, and you know, basically the ceramic brake pads last a lot longer, and it's really great. Lasted a year and a half, which is pretty amazing to me because I did some gnarly riding. I rode North Star, I rode Mount Bachelor, in Oregon. I rode a lot of downhill, and the brake pads lasted through all that chaos that I put it through. All the riding that were just complete brake burner style riding, downhill madness, and they did great. So replace your brake pads though before they get too worn out. If they're on metal on metal, metal on metal because your disc brake, that's really bad. That's how you can warp your disc brake, and then you're gonna have to buy new disc brakes. I've never had to do that, but I've heard of bad stories of people that have done that. So make sure you're paying attention to the wear on your disc brake pads, and you replace them before they're completely gone. So I just did that recently. It's good to go. And what else? Get your dropper post looked at every now and then. I have the RockShox Reverb, and mine likes to play around a little bit and give a little bit of play. They can kind of adjust it sometimes. The guys at the bike shop, I'm not good at the adjusting my reverb. This is a very technical piece of equipment that I do not know how to fix or tamper with, so I just don't do it. Other than that, that's about it for the simple maintenance stuff. I also put my own Stance, tubeless fluid in, which is pretty easy to do. You do need some pressure to get the to rebead your tires back in, but that's not too difficult either. You can kind of do it with a pump. But yeah, and then of course lubing and cleaning your chain is probably the most important thing to do. I do that about every two rides. I clean off some dirt and some muck, and I lube up the chain, and I make sure that it's kind of free of all the grime and dirt. And that's what really creates the longevity on your cassette and your derailleur, and it makes everything flow and stay in tune. When you're not cleaning or oiling up your chain, then everything starts to get all off kilter. It doesn't change gears right, and your bike gets pissed off. It also wears out your chain really fast. If you don't lube it and clean it, you'll stretch out your chain even further, and you'll be pissed off. So make sure you do that simple. If there's anything you heard from all that mumbo jumbo of maintaining your bike, that one is key. Make sure you lube and clean your chain, and the gears and the bike's going to flow a lot better. Other than that, keep an eye out on your tire tread. If your tires are starting to get pretty low on tread, I haven't had to buy new tires yet. I've had my bike for 2 years, and I have Maxxis Minion tires. They're definitely a downhill tire. I love them. I've had them for years, actually, on my first downhill bike, which was the Intense Uzi, basically a tank on wheels. And the Maxxis Minions, man, they are some beefy tires. I believe my tires are 2.5, 2.6 width, which is pretty wide. And that's how I like it. You know, it gives you a little more comfort when you're bombing down hills, a little more traction. And it's really great. I love the Maxxis tires. Their lineups are pretty awesome. And other than that, keep it clean, keep it pretty, and make sure you're maintaining your bike. So switching gears a little bit, I'm going to play one more song, and after that, we'll talk about a few more maintenance tricks and some great gear that I have and that you guys might want to consider getting that really works on the rides. And we'll jump right into that soon. But let's play another groovy tune before we jump into that. So let's see here. Another great song by on my single track State of Mind playlist, of course. Let's see. This one is called Feeling All Right by Revolution. All right, feeling good, but feeling all right. If you've never heard of Revolution, they are the one of the first Cali reggae bands, actually, to really make the scene what it is today. They really took the reggae movement to Cali and kind of made their own sound. And they're definitely one of the mainstream bands, but they're truly amazing. I've seen them many times, and they never disappoint. They put on a fantastic show. And very talented guys. And, of course, they share a very positive message. Most of the Cali Reggae does. And it's really easy listening, especially at a time like this. If you haven't picked up Revolution, check them out. They're really great. And if you're just tuning in, this is Single Track State of Mind. And I'm having a blast here. This is your host, DJ Mountain Goat. You're on Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we're broadcasting live on radio.dominican.edu and FM 102.3 once this chaos is over. But I'm glad I could be here for you guys. Thanks for listening to my show. And I hope you've enjoyed my show so far. I've only got about one or two more shows left, guys. And I've had an absolute blast. So thanks for being a part of it. And thanks for listening today. I discussed some maintenance tricks and COVID, of course, and ways to get outside and enjoy yourself and not be caught in all the chaos too much. And of course, I also discussed, what's been going on in the day to day. As far as maintenance goes, keep up the cleaning, keep up the lubing of the chain and all that good stuff. And let's transition over to some gear. Riding gear is pretty key to have, and I'm biased and partial to certain companies and gear, and for certain reasons. I've been riding, just to qualify, if I haven't qualified in a while, I've been riding since I was, about 8 years old, something like that, maybe even seven. I got my first little BMX bike, and so I've accumulated and bought and sold lots of gear over the years, and I found out what works best, and having the right riding gear can make all the difference. The gear that I have is pretty solid. You don't want to skimp and buy the cheap stuff, and you want to make sure you get stuff that works for you. So let's start with riding shorts. I get some pretty decent riding shorts by Fox, by Patagonia. And they're not cheap. They're right around, 70 to 150 bucks, but it's worth spending the money on. I get the riding shorts with a butt pad liner. You gotta protect your crown jewels and your tushy when you're riding, especially if you're doing lengthy rides. You want to make sure you have a butt pad to alleviate some of that riding pain while you're going on these lengthy rides. It really helps a lot. So get the butt pad. Is basically what I meant by that. I get a riding jersey to protect my arms, and when I'm riding and I'm hauling ass down the trail, you're whacking tree branches, you're getting bugs all over you, sometimes ticks. It's good to have the long sleeve shirt or the jersey, and it's nice to have the wick dry material if you're doing a lot of climbing and you're sweating a lot. You want to have that wick dry. So I wear those quite a bit. You want to get some good gloves for grip. I have Dakine and Fox gloves. They seem to work great. I wash them pretty much every other ride or so. Keep them clean, not stinking. What else? Five-ten shoes. If you want a pair of shoes that are really the best riding shoes you can get, you want to get 5'10". And that's for you platform riders like me. I have never been a clip-in guy. And 5'10 does make clip-ins. But for standard platform shoes, you want to get 5'10. They're super sticky rubber on the bottom. Great traction. And they're the riding mountain biking shoe to get. You gotta get a pair of 5'10s. They're going to stick to your little pegs on your platform pedals really well. You want to get some long socks. I usually wear long socks when I'm riding. I mean, I'm always wearing shorts, but for instance, just the other day, my ranger buddy and I went on a ride, and he ended up getting about three or four ticks in his legs, attached to his legs throughout the ride. He pulled off two or three, when we were riding, and then he got home and he found another one. So he was not wearing socks. I had shorts, but long socks on. I did not get any ticks. So I don't know if they just if he has some sweet blood and they just were attracted to him, or if I think maybe my Sox had something to do with it. My Sox go up almost all the way to my knee, and keeps me protected from ticks and from any natural hazards, branches, things that might cut me. So long socks are good to go. Get a nice pair of riding sunglasses that wrap around your face. Over the years, I've worn a lot of, pretty suboptimal normal sunglasses, and it's not the way to go. Not only have I broken them because they don't stay on your face well, if you just get any average Joe pair of sunglasses, they're not going to do the trick when you're out mountain biking. One, because when you're going downhill and you're pounding on your bike and you're bobbing up and down, they might fly off really easily. They don't wrap around your face well, so there's not a full level of protection when you're riding, and they don't give you the eye protection as well, and they don't have, most of the average Joe sunglasses don't have the ergonomics and the design to stay on your face well. I have a pair of Smith Attack sunglasses. They wrap around your face. They've got a lot of sticky rubber on it, so they hug your face well. And they also have interchangeable lenses. I think they're on sale right now. You can get them online for maybe $70 or so. They're usually like $200. But they wrap around. They have interchangeable lenses. They have one lens that's a sun lens and one lens that's a kind of in-between overcast lens. And it's really nice to be able to change those on the go, especially when you're going through super dense canopies. You want to have that second pair of lenses so you can actually see the terrain when you're flying down like a bat out of hell. So riding sunglasses are super key. And of course, the saving grace, the one piece of equipment that really helps me out, is the Camelback for long rides. I have a 3-liter Kudu Camelback with a back spine protector. It's got this amazing pad in the back that in case I eat it off my bike and land on my back, that hopefully this little spine protector will protect me and keep me good. And 3 liters of water, which is crucial for me. I suck down a lot of water, even only on a 10-mile ride. I still put down almost an entire 3-liter. So get yourself a bigger Camelback. That's my opinion, with the bigger reservoir, and you'll be happy you did. There's one thing that I missed that I wanted to touch on about parts and stuff like that. If you're going to get one part for your bike that's really going to change things, get yourself a dropper post. A dropper post is an adjustable seat post that does it mechanically on its own. It is a game changer. It will change the way you ride when you're going uphill and downhill. It's absolutely amazing. But I'm going to wrap it up right there, guys. I've talked for a little while now, and I really appreciate you guys listening. I hope you enjoyed today's show, talking about gear, talking about maintenance, and of course, what we're doing to stay healthy and the atmosphere that's going on today. So thanks for tuning in again, guys. As always, I'm your host, DJ Mountain Goat, and this is Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we're broadcasting live on radio.dominican.edu and FM 102.3. And I hope you guys are staying healthy. I hope you guys are staying sane. And I really hope you get outside and take care of your health and remain grateful. We're all really lucky to be where we are, and hopefully we're staying healthy and safe, and keep reaching out to your family and your support groups. If there's anything else that I can recommend, is get out for a ride and get on your mountain bike. One more show, guys. One or two more shows. I hope you guys tune in. See you next week, and I'll look forward to it. And stay crispy out there, and stay healthy. And we'll tune in next time. All right, goat out.